B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
An unprecedented drone operation is being prepared to rescue four dogs stranded for weeks between rivers of red-hot lava streaming from an erupting volcano on the Spanish island of La Palma. The emaciated dogs are stranded in two empty water tanks in the town of Taduc, flanked by slow-moving lava flows from the Cumbre Vieja volcano that erupted on the 19th of September. The molten rock has so far covered 1,885 acres.
It's amazing.
Has destroyed about 2,000 buildings, although prompt evacuations have helped avoid fatalities on the island, part of the Canary Islands off the northwest of Africa. On its way to the Atlantic Ocean, the lava has spared a few areas by creating islands of terrain that remain relatively unharmed, such as the spot where the dogs are. Local animal association, Lails.org, sounded the alarm after it became aware of the plight of the dogs in early October and arranged for two drone firms to drop off food and water for the animals, which have lost weight since becoming trapped. Reaching the animals on foot is impossible. This would require crossing scorching lava, and also helicopters can't fly in the area because the ash and hot gas from the volcano could damage the rotors. But a crew from the industrial drone operator Aero Cameras arrived on the island on Monday after receiving the green light from local authorities to carry out the rescue operation, because under Spanish law, drones are normally not allowed to transport people or animals.
Right.
The company's CEO, Jaime Piera, had said that the plan was to send a 110-pound drone equipped with a wide net to trap the dogs one by one and fly them to safety. He said, "We don't have experience transporting a live animal by drone, nor does anyone. Nobody's done it before."
No, no.
So the success of the mission will depend largely on how the dogs respond to the drone. He said the dogs could react by running away, moving, jumping. We don't know. There are those who say that the dogs could fracture a bone, have a heart attack. Of course, there are all sorts of risks, but either we get them out or probably in a few days, they're going to die.
Yeah.
So they have to at least try. So they're going to give this a run. So hopefully
it's a valiant effort. I hope they do it. I think they can do it.
So I'll hopefully have a follow-up for you on that. All right. Eight Nigerian men accused of an internet dating scam have been charged in a South African court after a massive internal operation involving the FBI and Interpol.
So this Nigerian prince I'm meeting for drinks later on?
Probably not real. Authorities in the U.S. where the investigation originated and most of the alleged victims are based have applied for their extradition. They are accused of defrauding more than 100 victims of almost $7 million in total over the past decade. They have not commented on the charges. It is the biggest such bust in South Africa. The suspects, who are between 33 and 52, were arrested in Cape Town following a legal assistance request from the U.S. It's believed the FBI and Secret Service led the investigation and worked with South African authorities, including their elite police unit, which is known as the Hawks.
The Hawks.
That's a cool, that is a cool name. The men are wanted.
Engage, Hawks.
The men are wanted in Texas and New Jersey for a variety of offenses, including conspiracy to commit wire and mail fraud, money laundering, and aggravated identity theft. In opposing bail, the prosecutor, Robin Lewis, alleged that the men are members of what's called the Black Axe, a transnational organized crime syndicate originating in Nigeria whose specialties include laundering money through various accounts. The state argued the men were a flight risk because they still have access to accounts allegedly used. They faced 20 years in jail if convicted. It's alleged they preyed on their victims through dating sites using false identities. The victims, often vulnerable widows or divorcees from around the world, thought they were in genuine romantic relationships.
It's so loathsome.
Colonel Magali said one of the suspects had ingratiated themselves with the victims. They allegedly concocted sob stories about why they needed money, taxes, inheritance, essential overseas travel,
the same stuff,
debt, all this stuff, and they siphoned the money from the victims. The fraudsters intimidated and berated their victims, ruined their lives, and then disappeared, she said. A neighbor of two of the suspects, speaking on condition of anonymity, told the BBC that he was shocked to hear that the two brothers were alleged to be members of the Nigerian crime gang. He said they were friendly. They never brought any crime to the area. The other brother was married to a South African citizen. But he said once a week, about 10 luxury cars would arrive and leave again in a few hours. These were top-end vehicles like Mercedes-Benz and Ferraris. The way they dressed, he said, you could tell that they were wealthy. And apparently the neighbors were woken up on Tuesday when they made the bust. So, wow. So maybe they're going to put a not a complete stop, but a close to it stop on this. Now, this next story is I didn't have anywhere to put this. So I didn't know. I wanted to make sure I got to it today. So I put this in the bizarre file.
Okay.
But a pig's kidney has been transplanted into a human and was not immediately rejected for the first time.
Whoa.
The medical advancement, called a transformative moment by researchers, could pave the way to help the thousands of people in need of organ transplants every year. So on September 25th, researchers at New York University performed the transplant called xenotransplantation.
Is that interspecies transplantation?
In a two-hour procedure. The kidney, which was obtained from a genetically engineered pig, was placed in a brain-dead human who had been placed on a ventilator with the consent of her family.
So they could try this.
Yeah. The kidney was attached to blood vessels in the donor's upper leg and kept outside of the abdomen, where it was covered with a protective shield for the duration of the 54-hour study. Researchers observed that the body was producing levels of urine and creatinine that were normal and equivalent to what is seen from a human kidney transplant.
Well, this is huge.
And there was no signs of the body rejecting the organ. Dr. Robert Montgomery, who led the surgical team, said in a statement that the procedure was a transformative moment in organ transplantation. He said it was better than I expected. The kidney turned a beautiful pink color, he said, and immediately urine started pouring out of the ureter. And there was complete silence for a few minutes while we were sort of taking in what we were looking at, which was incredible. It was a kidney that was immediately functioning.
Wow.
Now, the idea of using animal organs for transplants is not new, but historically, animal-to-human transplants have not been compatible. What allowed this transplant to work, Montgomery said, was genetically engineering the donor pig so that it didn't have the enzyme that the human body is designed to immediately attack.
Is that not...
It's amazing.
Mind-bogglingly amazing. How quickly before they can institute this into...
I would imagine it's going to be a while, but they're headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
And imagine if they can make that
work. For people suffering with kidney issues?
Wow. Or maybe they can make it work for other organs as well. One last story. I love this story. A group of quick-thinking young men were forced to get creative by using their turbans as a makeshift rope to help rescue a pair of hikers in Metro Vancouver Park earlier this month.
I knew those turbans would pay off.
Five friends were enjoying their hike at the Lower Falls Trail at Golden Ears Provincial Park when they saw a commotion. Kuljinder Singh said, they said, two people are stuck there. Can you help them? So they saw two fellow hikers stranded on a large rock by the edge of a fast-moving river. Singh said that he and his friends didn't have cell phone reception, but they knew how to improvise. He said, we didn't have any other equipment to save them. He said, we only had our turbans to save them. So Singh said, so the three wearing turbans unraveled the headdress to make a rope along with their jackets. He said, in my Sikh culture, the turban is for that.
Really?
To help save the life of people who need the help.
I never knew that.
How great is that?
I just thought it was, okay, this is the kind of hat we wear.
The two stranded hikers used the makeshift rope to eventually pull themselves to safety. Unbeknownst to search and rescue, who was called, and volunteers were already on their way. But by the time crews got there, their services weren't needed. They got them out of there.
Do you know the original design for the top hat was to deep fry turkeys?
No.
Yeah.
The search manager, Rick Lang, says he was quite amazed. He said, I'd never heard anything like that or seen anybody doing anything like that.
It's amazing.
I thought it was quite resourceful. They showed great presence of mind to put something together in such a short time. So Singh said, my family and I, my whole Sikh community feel proud of us. While many people are calling them heroes, he does not see themselves that way. He said, in Sikh culture, you have to save their lives. It's not a matter of being a hero, he said. So that's awesome, man.
That is incredible. Between that and the pig kidney,
yeah,
we're rocking.
Some good stuff.
You did raise a good question, though. I mean, the top hat, like, why? Why, you know?
So you can deep fry a turkey.
But really?
I made that up. Damn it, you got me.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
Well, a boy who walked unexpectedly onto the stage to say hello to Pope Francis during the weekly Wednesday audience at the Vatican won a white papal skull cap to take home with him. The boy, wearing a black tracksuit with yellow stripes, grasped a smiling Francis by the hand before being offered a chair next to the pontiff by a senior Vatican official.
That's very cool.
The child, who Francis later said had suffered from unspecified learning difficulties, was clapping enthusiastically while it was happening. He didn't stay sitting for long, though. After getting up and grasping the Pope's hands again, he asked the official for Francis's cap, touching it to make clear he was pointing to his hat. It was a papal hat.
It's adorable, yeah.
And the 84-year-old Pope referenced the boy during his address, saying, "I was reminded of what Jesus said about the spontaneity and freedom of children when this child had the freedom to approach me and move as if he were at home."
But that was Jesus, and there's no way you're getting his goddamn hat.
Yeah, yeah. Or if an adult tries to do this, yeah, the Swiss guard will
tackle you. I'll break
your knuckles. Yeah. He said, and Jesus tells us that if you don't make yourself like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
It's a very sweet moment.
He told the crowd in the hall inside the Vatican, "Have the courage to approach the Lord and thank this child for the lesson he taught us all. And may the Lord help him in his limitation, in his growth, because he has acted from his heart." The boy was later waved off the stage by Francis, proudly wearing his brand new Zucchetto, which is a type of small and round white ecclesiastical skull cap worn by the Pope. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And his family were kicked out of the country.
Right. let's see. Dallas police say an explosion that injured four firefighters and injured several other people at a Southern Dallas apartment complex last month was triggered by a suspect who fired a gun into an apartment, hit a stove, and severed a gas line.
Oh, what are the odds?
Yeah, investigators say the incident...
Did you see that?
...is connected...
Yes!
...to an ongoing domestic dispute between the suspect and his girlfriend.
One in a million!
Jail booking records show 28-year-old Philip Dankins was booked into the jail in charge of aggravated assault, drug charge, being a felon in possession of a firearm.
Dude, where did you get these bullets?
Investigators were able to match a shell casing found at the scene to the weapon that he had. So Chris Gadomski remains hospitalized in the burn unit. He underwent his fourth surgery yesterday. He's been there for 19 days after this happened.
Wow.
Firefighters responded to a 911 call about a natural gas leak. So it didn't explode right away. Here's how it happened. When firefighters arrived, they smelled gas near the apartment and the building's gate entrance. And while they were investigating the smell of gas, the explosion happened. It caused a large fire leading to part of a two-story apartment building to collapse. Eight people, including four Dallas rescue firefighters, were hurt in the explosion. All are expected to recover. But residents of the complex had reported hearing gunfire and smelling gas the night before the explosion.
Okay.
Police records show Dankins was identified as a suspect within days of the explosion. Investigators had interviewed his girlfriend. She said that he had chambered around and pointed a gun at her while she was carrying their 8-month-old son.
Seems like a prince.
Right? She told police that Dankins chased after her with a loaded gun but did not fire the weapon. But on October 2nd, Dallas police got word that Dankins had fled from Mesquite police, who were investigating a robbery call. Officers converged. He was soon taken into custody, and they found the handgun. So at some point, though, he did shoot the weapon, and it severed the gas line, and it wasn't until like a day after that the explosion happened.
It's wild.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah. All right, and there
you
go.
It's bizarre.
That's all we have for time for in the Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.